Title for this message is Original Sin. Stand for the reading. Genesis 3, verse 1 through 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. I want to first point out that I was raised Catholic most of my life, and we were only taught so much. Knowing now, we were only taught half-truths. And this message here is more on what's been coming into my thoughts for the past months or so. And I like to share them with you to see if anybody, you know, you may all have had know this. But this is more for me than it is for, and hopefully for you too. Now we were told that this event that took place was the cause of all the woman's seed to be born in this world was given an original sin. Psalm 51 verse 5 says that we were born into iniquity and in sin did our mothers conceive us. Definition of original is a source or cause from which something arises specifically. Originator. It is also that from which a copy, reproduction, or translation is made. Now I was led to read this book called That Old Serpent, the Devil by F.J. Ugel, written in 1954. I read this book about 2 years ago and going through my books came upon it again and read it again. What you missed the first time you read something, you will generally pick up the second time and third time will bring the light even more. The third chapter of Genesis sets the stage for our life. As Jim gave his message on the importance of who we are, it is also important to know who or what your enemy is, especially when put on the battlefield. Now we know that this congregation knows the contents of this message, but it is good to refresh and who knows, pick something up that we did not know. Like I said, this message is more for me to find understanding. What needs to be understood is the original sin. What scenario the woman went through all Adamic man inherited? What is it that we all have that can relate to what she did? There have been many books about the devil and what the woman's sin was. And just recently, Jim directed me to some books on the subject, and Don's message on Hinduism has really opened up the picture of what happened in the garden. When any of us was told that due to the woman's disobedience, we inherited original sin, and we just sort of accepted that as being a mark on our soul. Wonder if we ever thought whether we could overcome this original sin at that time we were told. Well, let's add to this scene of the confrontation in the garden. Could it be that we were given continuous thoughts, thoughts of both good and evil? After all, it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is difficult at times is that the serpent is cunning and can appear as an angel of light, leaving us with the difficult decision of who is speaking in our thoughts. In these three verses of Genesis 3, we notice that there are three characters mentioned. The serpent, the woman, and God. Now the main character is the woman. What needs to be understood is that with each and every one of us, we entertain two characters most of the time. Ideally, if we can entertain just one, that is the right one, then rest assured we're on the right path. This is not the case, though. That rotten serpent rears its head quite often, just like a jack-in-the-box. We have 6,000 years of DNA in us from our ancestors that have experienced that which is evil and made to appear as good. And we have to decipher what is good and what is truly evil. Can we truly know all the evil that God has infected our ancestors and us? And I'm going to insert this. That's what Jesus meant by telling the apostles, beware of the traditions of men. Only with God's help, let's look at this scenario from what we experience in our minds. Let's just say the woman was walking through the garden admiring the beauty of the trees and the flowers, and she comes upon this tree that God commanded not to take of. She starts to ponder, what is it about that tree that I cannot eat of? Curiosity, or a serpent, is eating at her to take of the fruit from that tree. For that voice inside her head tells her that the fruit will make her wise and become like gods. And lo and behold, she puts God's command on the back burner and takes the forbidden fruit. This is pretty much the same scenario we face whenever we are doing or are distracted by or have an opinion in our mind, or when we see other people or an advertisement or actions of others to get us to say or do those things we ought not to say or do. For instance, when traveling to work, there's a car that is off the side of the road with flashers on, and the hood popped up, or a flat tire. You drive by, and a voice inside your head says, that isn't very Christian to not stop and help. Whose voice is that? God's or the serpent's? I know very little about fixing a car. What good would I be? Is my reply to that voice. We have an opinion or thoughts on everything we see or hear or taste. Some good, some bad. Who sends these thoughts? God or the serpent? Now back to the garden. We know that the serpent was actually present. Was the serpent present in the woman's mind or present in the flesh or both? Either way, the serpent was present. God introduced this serpent to Adam, who had told the woman to forbid taking from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. We do know that the woman was conceived from this ordeal, or why else would God declare enmity between the serpent's seed and the seed of the woman? Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. If this is not the case, then why didn't God just give the woman lockjaw or food poison? This was a conception by way of deception, and had it not happened, then there would be no reason for the immaculate conception. Now, if we were to label this sin with a four-letter word, what would it be? And it would not be love, it would be self. Self, or the serpent, gets into our head, making us feel so unworthy, so important, to have whatever we want or desire, to create doubt and guilt. Ephesians 5:29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. The serpent plays on that to get one to love themselves, which leads to selfishness. This article was taken from the web. We all know that self-esteem, sometimes referred to as self-worth or self-respect, can be an important part of success. Too little self-esteem can leave people feeling defeated or depressed. It can also lead people to make bad choices, fall in destructive relationships, or fail to live up to their full potential. Too much self-esteem is exhibited in narcissistic personality disorder, can certainly be off-putting to others, and can even damage personal relationships. My wife and I have had experience with that kind of self-esteem through two people, a doctor and a lawyer. If the serpent plays on self, then the serpent is both too little and too much. Parentheses mine. Self-esteem levels at the extreme high and low ends of the spectrum can be harmful. So ideally, it's best to strike a balance somewhere in the middle. A realistic yet positive view of yourself is generally considered the ideal. But what exactly is self-esteem? Where does it come from? And what influence does it really have on our lives? In psychology, the term self-esteem is used to describe a person's overall sense of self-worth or personal value. In other words, how much you appreciate and like yourself. Self-esteem is often seen as a personality trait, which means that it tends to be stable and enduring. Self-esteem can involve a variety of beliefs about yourself, such as the appraisal of your own appearance, beliefs, emotions, and behaviors. Signs of a healthy self-esteem would be if you have a good sense of who you are, if you exhibit the following signs: confidence, ability to say no, positive outlook, ability to see overall strengths and weaknesses and accept them. Negative experiences don't impact overall perspective, and the ability to express your needs. Signs of low self-esteem: you may need to work on how you perceive yourself if you exhibit any of these signs of poor self-esteem. Negative outlook, lack of confidence, inability to express your needs, focus on your weaknesses, feelings of shame, depression, or anxiety, belief that others are better than you, trouble accepting positive feedback, and fear of failure. Let's see what God says about self-esteem. Take notice of all these verses and apply them to the days we experience. Is anyone humbling themselves? And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. This verse focuses on those who have high self-esteem. And Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 12:7. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, "They have humbled themselves. Therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance through Trump. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak," or Hillary. And Jeremiah, "They are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers." In 2 Chronicles, "Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, 'The Lord is righteous.'" Also in 2 Chronicles, "Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." And in Ezra, "In that thou hast humbled thyself as it becometh thee, and hast not judged thyself worthy to be much glorified among the righteous." And in Deuteronomy, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did they thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Let's look at some different types of self. We have those who work and provide for their family. We have those who work just to provide for themselves. We have those who rely on others to work for them. We have those who steal from those who work so they can give to those who do not work and take credit for helping the poor. We have those who just steal to help themselves. We have those who preach that giving 10% of what you earn goes to the welfare of the preacher and the sick and afflicted in the congregation. We have those who preach that giving to the government, to the church, as much as you can is godly and you will be rewarded. We have religions of all sorts, started by those whose sole intentions are to tickle the ears of their followers and the followers donate their estates to such people upon their death. Atheism is now considered a religion, at least to the Portland, Oregon council members. I heard that 2 weeks ago. I want to bring up this little story about this young lady. This isn't on here in the script. It's about this young lady who was dating this guy for quite some time. And one day from a date, she came home, and she had a sad look on her face. And her mother said to her, "What's wrong? You look so sad." "Well, it's Brady. He asked me to marry him." "So, well, what's wrong with that? Do you love him?" "Of course I love him. But he told me some things. He says he doesn't believe there's a God. And he doesn't believe there's a devil. He doesn't believe there's a heaven. And he said he doesn't believe there's a hell." So mother said to her, "Oh, honey, don't worry about that. Go ahead and marry him. Between the two of us, we'll show him what hell is." Now, what needs to be shown is that each one of us are not just ourselves. Jesus gave us the commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Mark 12, verse 33. Not too much of this commandment is being followed these days. When first reading this commandment, we always set our sights on loving our neighbors or brethren, but did not put much emphasis on loving God. If we are to love the Lord thy God as the commandment suggests, then how do we have any love for ourselves? The problem today is loving ourselves too much. Had God not intervened to some extent, we would have complete chaos, wars, poverty, only the strong would survive. This is exactly where we are headed, and it seems to be the work of the serpent, also known as politicians, wolves in sheep's clothing, Jewish bankers, and thanks, Don, for showing us Hinduism. Looking at the perspective of sins of the flesh or sins of the self seems to be orchestrated and led by the devil or the serpent or Satan and his seed. There are two types of self, one being with God and the other being with the serpent. Let's look at the many verses we are to know and deny self with the serpent. In James 3:16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy." That's from 2 Timothy. Philippians 2:1-4. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up." That's from Romans. And James, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic." 1 Corinthians 13, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. In Romans 2, but for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. In Philippians, for they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. In Galatians, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. As you can see, every one of these sins are generated by self. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. From Proverbs. Isaiah, the dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough, but they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. 1 Corinthians, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. And John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In Proverbs 30, there are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth. In Leviticus, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. In Ephesians, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. 2 Corinthians, and he died for all, that those who live might longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Philippians, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. In Malachi, only that there were among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. And in Psalms, to the choir master, a psalm of David, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. They make their tongues sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me. Philippians, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. In Romans, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. In Proverbs, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. 1 John, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. In Hebrews, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. And in Psalms, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Let's expand on the desires of the self and the desires of the eyes that are not from our Father. Could we say that all sicknesses are from the evil one? If someone has a desire to put, say, for instance, MSG or fluoride and other harmful products into our food, are they doing it to enrich themselves and to create ailments, or doing it to satisfy our taste buds? What about the vitamins that we need? Do you know that as long as there is a product that starts out with a vitamin, it can be passed off as that vitamin in the product, no matter whether or not the vitamin was reduced to practically nothing after the process they put it through? We are told that God would put his laws on the hearts and minds of his people. God's people apparently are not listening to the right voice in their head. Also, the number of books that are in existence, written by well-advertised authors on the subject of the Bible, and they promote universalism. God loves everyone, the Jews being God's chosen, the affliction of the Jews during World War II, and the list goes on and on for the dark side. I must wonder that with all the preachers and authors and religious figures that are in this world, whether they even care about what they preach and write about being truth. Being a preacher is a dangerous job, more dangerous than an amateur being on a high wire 1,000 feet above ground. Have they ever considered that they are on the front lines of a big battle, and the only ones you can call on when the battle becomes fierce is your fellow countrymen next to you and God? Why take the chance of offending him? Yet to them, he is a loving God and will forgive them no matter whether they continue in their falsehoods. Now, here are some imaginings from the Beatles, and there was another song back in the 60s and 70s by Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley that was called My Way. I know you quite remember that one. It seems to be the going thing nowadays that that song, My Way, has put an illusion on people that their way, that they have a way, when the real way of the My Way is the serpent's way. Now, here are some imaginings to counteract one of the Beatles songs, Imagine. I can only imagine what life would be like if we were taught from the moment we were born to the day we die that the original sin that we possess is self, and that the highs and lows of self are unfruitful and not of God. I can only imagine that life would be what life would be like if we were taught from our birth to our death who our enemy truly is, both in the flesh and in our thoughts. I can only imagine a priest or preacher standing before his congregation every Sabbath, giving them heads up of the daily workings of the serpent and his seed, convicting them for doing nothing to prevent the enemy's daily workings. I can only imagine what life would be like had we had true shepherds. I can only imagine our kindred brothers and sisters being able to accept the truth and not choke on it. I can only imagine these things only because someone imagined the evil that we are experiencing now. I can only imagine these things because God chose me to imagine them. I will end this for all to take notice as to the times that we use the word I, and judge yourself on whether or not that I is being selfish or whether or not that I has God next to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to put a continuation on this message as soon as I find out what John Wesley said about it. And since I've had these thoughts come into my head, numerous times I've had heard on the radio, and for some reason, it's about self. Some, like today, for instance, or this weekend, this I heard 2 weeks ago after I had this message written. Self-esteem. If your team wins, your self-esteem is raised for 2 days. If your team loses, your self-esteem doesn't change. Now, when Don gave that message on Hinduism, my self-esteem was raised even till now, and it's still going. So I'm trying to point out, I guess what God was trying to show me is that his self-esteem lasts forever, whereas the serpent's self-esteem only lasts for 2 days. And I've heard many, and I'm still reading books. Every book I seem to open, it's on self, people being selfish. I've had a brother-in-law come up, just out of the blue, start talking about what's wrong with this nation is that there's too many selfish people. I said, wow, that's got to be an omen. You're sitting there thinking about all this stuff, and somebody comes up and starts telling you, it's either that or you become more aware of what others are saying. And I thank God for showing me this message because he certainly has convicted me of some prideful things, too.